The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, just above Alto Forno Restaurant on Cross Street and just across the street from the North Shore Mall. And if you haven't noticed, they're starting to expand out that parking lot. The structure is going up for Lifetime Fitness. Things are moving along over at the North Shore Mall. Lots more to come over there as well. And I happen to get the bird's eye view from my office on Cross Street. You'll know where our business is because our name is right on the corner of the building. If you haven't been to Alto Forno lately, check it out. They've updated the menu. Great chef. Great people that work over there, so swing by and grab something to eat. It's going to start getting really, really busy over there because Thanksgiving is coming, and then after that, forget it. So make your reservations and get over there. And no, they don't pay me to say that at all. I just happen to like the restaurant. I like the location. It's just a fun place to go. I do that throughout the course of the show. I like to talk about things that are local, things that I like to do that are local because, hey, this is a local radio station. The listeners here to the radio are local as well. You live on the North Shore. You live in the Merrimack Valley, the southern New Hampshire area. You might be driving around and you say, I've been to that restaurant or I've been there. And hey, did you go to the fair? Fair is over. Thank goodness. I'm just tired. That's all. I love doing the fair, and I'll be back again next year. But man, this was an exhausting year at the fair. Hot dog eating contest was a huge success that was sponsored by the booth that I run, the B'nai B'rith booth. Sales at the fair were okay. I mean, last week, the rain was a little tough and challenging, so many people didn't go during mid part of the week, but the weekend was really, really busy, and we certainly made up for it. Hope you enjoyed yourself. Jamie O'Brien had to make some very tough decisions. Jamie's the general manager over there, and I have great respect for the decisions that he has to make with looming storms and managing traffic patterns and everything else that happens there. He wants to keep you safe. He wants you to have a great time, and I hope you really did at the fair. At our booth, the B'nai B'rith booth, our signature sandwich, which I didn't even know we had a signature sandwich until 3 years ago when we created it, this sandwich called the Oy Vey sandwich, has become so popular, so incredibly popular, it's become Instagrammable. It is everywhere. I mean, if you're a member of North Shore Eats, and if you're not, let me tell you about North Shore Eats, another local thing to do. If you're on Facebook and you like to eat out, sign up for the group North Shore Eats. It's great. It's people talking about restaurants that are on the North Shore. If you're saying, hey, where can I go get great fried clams? Or where can I get the best steak tips? Or here's a review of Alto Forno or Daniela's or any of these restaurants around, people will post reviews. People will post thoughts. A restaurant that I was introduced to recently up in Byfield called the Rusty Can. I don't know if you've ever been up there. It's a great place for barbecue. But all of a sudden, people started writing about the Oy Vey sandwich at the B'nai B'rith booth, and man, did it take off. We sold over 800 sandwiches. 800 sandwiches at $10. That's, you can do the math, because this is financial advice in a language you can understand. 800 times 10 is $8,000. That is a lot of money just for sandwiches, and I think it's the best deal at the fair. So we had a great time selling those sandwiches, hot pastrami sandwiches, brisket sandwiches, burgers, chicken fingers, matzo ball soup, knishes, bagels and lox, macaroni and cheese, chili, everything that we sell at the booth, and hope to see you back there again next year. Laura and I will be there. And if for those of you that do listen to the show, if you had swung by and said, hey, I listened to your show, or thanks for running Dollars and Cents, you know that Laura and I came through for you. Everybody walked away with a free big brownie, and I'm talking about big brownie. They're 4 inches by 4 inch brownies. They were a good size, so you walked away with one of those. So thanks for swinging by. Hope you had a great time at the fair. But here we are. The world still continues after the fair. That is right. The world continues. The market moves on. The election will still happen in 2020. I don't know if you watched the Democratic debate this past week, but man, I mean, if you're a Democrat, and I know there's lots of them, there should be lots of Democrats out there. I don't know how you're feeling following the Democratic debate this week. Do you really feel like there's a dog in the fight here? Are you hoping that maybe somebody else will step up? Because, man, I mean, I really want Democrats to put up a good fight. They should. They should. You know, this should be a representation from all sides of the spectrum here. But we can't run an election just because we hate the other candidate. We got to put somebody up there that's of quality, that will represent us, that will really speak to the people. And I don't know about you, but I watched that Democratic debate and I was depressed. I was saying, this is the best we got? This is it? Let's find some candidates. And if you think we have some good candidates, if you like your candidate, well, let's start talking about why we like the candidate rather than why we don't like the guy that's in office. I think if we spent more time trying to build somebody up, build up one of these candidates to really put them on the pedestal, let them have their forum, let them speak, let them get out there and get their message out, rather than spending all this time belittling what else is going on in America, let's find out what we're going to fight for. Let's get up there and stand up with some strong messages. That's going to make this election interesting because, frankly, and it's my opinion, folks, but if the Democrats don't do something, this is going to be a landslide loss. And I know you don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. But I have to face reality because there is nobody in the fight right now that has the messaging, that has the stamina, that has the presence, that has the support to win this election on the Democratic ticket. We got to change that. Maybe you can make that change, but let's make this, you know, let's make this a fair and balanced battle. That's what I'm looking for. Anyways, market has been running up too, and I'll tell you, if you don't like what's going on in the market, you must be crazy, because if you take a look at your statement month after month after month after month, and I can do that month after month for 10 plus years, we're making money. It's 12 years you're making money. Yeah, there's going to be weeks, or maybe a month or two, where something's fallen back a little bit, but it comes right back the other way. How many times have we been told this China deal isn't going through, and then it is going through, and then it isn't going through, and then we're at a first phase we're going through, and then it isn't going through, and Brexit's going to happen, and then Brexit's not going to happen, and then Brexit's going to happen again, not going to happen. All of that stuff, folks, is noise, and the market moves on that noise. But if you ignore it all and you say, hey, I'm invested, smart, I'm using mutual funds, I'm using exchange-traded funds, my portfolio is well-diversified, I'm working with a certified financial planner, I'm getting advice that says I'm going to focus on rational behavior rather than the emotions of the day, you're doing extraordinarily well. And who wouldn't want to be voting for that? I mean, look, we're making money, folks. I guess you wouldn't care about the value of your 401k or your investment account if you were a government worker. Think about that. If you're a government worker, what do you care what the stock market is doing? Because if you're a government worker, you're getting a pension. And the chances are that's what you're going to live on, is your pension and perhaps your Social Security. You don't care what the value of the 401k, you don't even care about what a 401k is. You don't care about the stock market. You don't, and in fact, it probably even upsets you that CEOs of these major corporations are making all this money because it doesn't impact you. But if you're a private citizen and your retirement is dependent on the success and the continued success of the American engine, of the economy, of companies doing well, you've got to be rooting for this and continuously rooting for it because your life depends on it. Your income depends on it. And where are you going to go? What are you going to do? Get out of the stock market and jump into bonds right now? Well, how's that working out for you? I mean, interest rates are going down. CDs, which were almost, you could get a 2.5% CD just 8 months ago, which you might say, whoopee, I could get 2.5% because you hadn't seen that in a long time. Well, new CDs, you're not seeing those numbers around anymore. Interest rates have come back down and may even go down further. Now, if you were invested in bonds already, people that invested in bonds or in bond funds, you've actually seen the value of your bonds potentially going up, because when interest rates drop, the value of bonds go down. So keeping that asset allocation, keeping that mix, some money in the stock market, some money in the bond market, having money in cash, and folks, this is a big one. You need to have money in cash even if it's earning zero. Your investment account is not your emergency fund. That's not what investments are for. The money that you have placed in investment should be money that's going to sit there for 3 to 5 or more years. If you have any intention of touching that money, you need to be sure that there's money in the bank. You have to take some money out of your investments and do it now. Put that money in cash. Now, different story if you're living in retirement and you need to take a regular income stream from it. That's different. Income streams from investments is one thing. But taking out chunks of money from your investment account, bad if you don't have the money in the bank and you haven't prepared for it. We got to find a happy balance. It's very important to do that. So each and every Sunday morning, we are here where we're providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. We've been doing it here for almost 8 years here at the North Shore 104.9, right across the street from the North Beverly train station. Not very busy there today. Most people aren't up yet, but we are here on Sundays. And I want to encourage you, sign up for our free weekly newsletter. It comes out each and every Friday. It's called Planning Point. There's more than 7,500 people subscribed to it. You get it delivered right to your inbox. All you need to do is go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, to E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page. You can put in your name, your email address, send me a note, and you'll get your email, your planning pointers. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, dollar, dollar.
What if you could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning? That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and experience to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Let's make 2019 the year you get serious about your financial plan. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
This month, consider setting yourself apart from the ordinary at Gidley's Menswear in Danvers.
And there's no better way to set yourself apart than in a custom suit made just for you.
You choose the fabric, style, liner, and buttons. Their trusted tailors guide you through the entire process. And the best part of all is your custom suit is made in as little as 8 days.
And new Canada Goose jackets for him and her have arrived just in time for those chilly fall evenings.
Gidley's Menswear. Come in once, you'll be a customer for life.
Planning for retirement and managing your investments has never been more difficult. Chances are you're trying, but worried you may make a misstep. Friedman Financial is all about getting your financial house in order and providing financial advice in a language you can understand. Their interactive software and in-person conversations will help you determine if you're on track. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has delivered independent advice. If now's the time to get serious about life and retirement, visit Friedman, 2 E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, where we're providing financial advice and financial planning and investment advice to individuals and families who live on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the Southern New Hampshire area. We've been doing it since 1968. No, not me. I was 2 then. My father started the firm back then. Dad retired in 2007, but I had joined him in 1991. I now run the business with my business partner, Marion Gilman. Not with me today, but she is sometimes here in studio as well. Our office, located at 41 Cross Street in Peabody, just above Alto Forno Restaurant. If now is the time for you to get serious about your retirement planning, about thinking for your future, about making sure that you have the money that you need to support your life for the next 30 years when you hit retirement, when that paycheck stops, we're here for you. Give us a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. It's kind of interesting. There are periods of time in my office where folks who are listening to the radio start calling our office for initial consultations. We get referrals from clients, all sorts of things. And we will go in hills and valleys. And it's interestingly, it's been exceedingly quiet for the past 5 or 6 weeks with people calling to schedule new appointments. And generally, I know what happens. We've been through these hills and valleys many times. There is going to be a time, perhaps there'll be a jolt to the market, perhaps there'll be something that happens when all of a sudden someone will say, oh my God, now I have to call, now I have to call. I'm telling you, if you've been on the fence and you've been thinking, do I want a second opinion? Is it time to get a second opinion about my financial situation? Do I want to work with a financial professional? Have I been doing it on my own? And maybe it's time to make sure that I need to get the house in order. Maybe I'm thinking to myself, goodness, if something were to happen to my husband or my wife and I was all alone, would I be able to handle the finances? And it's not just about the investment accounts anymore, folks. It's about all of the longevity issues that impact your personal finances. We're expert in that. We do this every single day. If now's the time for you to schedule a free initial consultation in the office, please do it, because we've got some openings right now. It's a little bit quiet for new appointments, but I do know that once November and December, and then certainly January come rolling around, we're going to be pushing appointments way, way out. So if now's the time, if you've been thinking about saying, you know, maybe I'll call Mark, maybe I'll schedule some time, this is a great time to be doing it. Our phone number at the office, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or, hey, if you just want to drop me an email, maybe you got a question, something that's been burning, you've been wondering, what should I do? Drop me an email. Here's my personal email address, Mark, M-A-R-C, not K, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, you know it, two E's and a D, financial.com. Just drop me an email. Happy to respond. And anybody knows that if ever you've dropped me an email, if ever you've sent me a message, I've responded to you in 24 hours. You know that's going to happen. So, yeah, I'm going to respond to you. That's how it all works. Hey, I wanted to tell you, as we talk about some of the things we deal with on a day-to-day basis, look, here's a few things that happens. I got a call from somebody who sends me a copy, or actually, I called them. They send me a copy of the will that they crafted with their attorney. And I'm reading the will because oftentimes as a financial planner, our clients will send us the estate planning documents that they've put together with their attorney. Maybe they've had a trust, maybe they have a will, maybe they have a real estate trust they put on their house, whatever it might be. And someone sends me this will, and it specifically lists in the trust, when I die, I want, let's say, Johnny to get $50,000. I want Sally to get $50,000. I want $50,000 to go to the local animal shelter. Let's just use those three, $150,000. And I'm reading that, and I'm thinking to myself, that's never going to happen. And you think to yourself, wait a second. It's in my will. It says I want $50,000 to go to Johnny, $50,000 to Sally, $50,000 to the animal shelter. So I call this client. I said, you know, here's the thing. If you die, all of the assets that you have already been named to particular beneficiaries through your retirement account, through your IRA, and through your life insurance policy. The descriptions that you've placed in your will won't even happen. And they say, what do you mean? I don't understand. My will says that I want this to do it. So I need you to understand something. When you're leaving money to an heir, to a spouse, to whomever you want to leave it to, the only money that gets divvied up through the will are the assets that don't have what are called beneficiary designations already on them. So this person had a $500,000 IRA, and this person had named his wife and then his three children as the contingent beneficiaries. The wife was first, the primary beneficiary. So if he dies, she gets the money. If she predeceases him, the money goes to the three kids. Great. They have a joint account, a joint investment account with $200,000 in it. If he dies, it goes to her. They have a house that's owned jointly, worth about $500,000. If he dies, it goes to her. But in his will, it says, I want $50,000 to Johnny, $50,000 to Sally, $50,000 to the animal shelter. And so I said to him, where are we going to get the money to pay those people? And he looks at me, he says, well, from my assets, from the stuff that I have. I said, no. If there's a beneficiary designation on all of these accounts, those people get paid first. I said, I can see here on your net worth statement that you have $5,000 in an individual checking account. I said, that $5,000 is what is going to be divvied up among Johnny, Sally, and the animal shelter. Well, that's, I want to give them more than that. Well, that's not how that's going to work. So we need to be very, and here's the thing is, you said 50,000, 50,000, 50,000 to those three people, and you have $5,000 to divvy up. How do you divvy it up? First of all, who's going to divvy it up? You're not, you're dead, remember? So somebody is named the executor, and perhaps that's your spouse. And your spouse is wondering, well, why didn't I get that money? Because remember, she was named for other things. But let's say she gets past that. And there's $5,000 in the checking account. And now it says I got to give $50,000 to Johnny, $50,000 to Sally, $50,000 to the animal shelter. Does it get divided evenly? I don't know. Who's going to figure that out? A judge? Someone's got to figure that out. Someone has to pay the court costs and the estate costs and all of that. And you know what? All that's going to cost probably around $5,000. So how much money is really left to Johnny, Sally, and the animal shelter? Maybe $6.31 apiece. So we really need to be thoughtful. And the other thing that you need, that I also caution on, is naming dollar amounts as beneficiary designations is a very challenging thing to do. We had a situation this past month where someone had $150,000. Actually, the IRA was worth $190,000. And the beneficiary designation said, I want $50,000 to go to three different people. Okay? And then the balance, the remaining $40,000, I want to go to my local church. I said, and it was specific dollars, 50, 50, 50, 40. And so I said to them, what happens if when you die, the account is worth only $160,000 instead of $190,000 where you started? How's the money supposed to be divvied up? And she hadn't thought about that. See, folks, when you're making beneficiary designations, I strongly encourage you to select percentages to people, not dollar amounts. Selecting dollar amounts in your estate planning is a very dangerous thing to do, because all of a sudden you're raising questions, you're raising concerns, you're raising legal costs, because somebody's going to have to decide what is the right way to do this. And maybe someone wants to put up a fit that said, well, she loved me more than the next person, or he wanted me to have this. I know that because he said I was going to get... It doesn't work. Percentages. Go with percentages in your estate planning documents, not dollar values. I can't be more serious about wanting you to do that. Here's another thing that happened just this past week. So, you know, we talk about financial advice in a language you can understand. Many people think, well, Mark, he talks about investments. That's what he must do. I will tell you, investment is just one slice in the overall pie of what we do. I get a call last Monday. Last Monday, I get a call from a client. He said, Mark, we lost Sandy. I said, what do you mean we lost Sandy? He says, she went in for what we thought was going to be a simple procedure, and she died on the table at 67 years old. She was his business partner. She did all the bookkeeping for the office. He ran a good-sized business. He had three kids. And he said, so I'm calling to figure out what I need to do to fix all the accounts. I said, Jack, I said, she just passed away. There's no rush. I don't care what anybody tells you. When somebody passes away, you take care of the family stuff. You take care of the funeral arrangements, of course, but you take care of the kids, take care of the house, take care of all that stuff. Changing the ownership from Sandy's IRA to your IRA, or changing the joint account to an individual account or to whatever it is, all that stuff can wait. It really can. I don't care who's pushing you. It can wait. Now, here's something that he did that I thought was interesting. She died on a Monday. Generally in the Jewish, she was Jewish. Generally in the Jewish religion, you generally bury the person, hopefully about 24 hours following their passing. There's no wakes. What we do in the Jewish religion is called Shiva. So you visit people's homes for a few days that follow the funeral. You have the funeral and they have it. Well, it turns out last weekend was Yom Kippur, which was the Jewish high holidays. And so they had to push it out a little bit. So the funeral was actually on Thursday. So they have the funeral at 11 o'clock. He has, after the funeral, he has Shiva back at his house until 5:30. And then that's it. Sometimes you do it for 3 or 4 days. She was 67 years old. He only wanted to do it one day. But it was done at 5:30. And I thought to myself, and I just saw this. This was posted in the paper in his thing. Why was it 5:30? Well, what happened last Thursday? A week ago Thursday? Patriots played Thursday night football, right? He and his wife are huge, huge Patriots season ticket holders. He, his two boys, and his wife. And they decided that mom would have been really, really, really upset if they skipped a Patriots game just so that they could sit around and accept mourners to come to their house. And so they went to the Patriots game. Everybody does things differently. One of the things that we've learned is that there is no right way to do things anymore. There's morals and all that kind of stuff, but how we choose to make decisions, what we do and what we think is the right way to spend money. One of the things that I get a great glimpse at as a financial planner is I get a peek behind the curtain at thousands of people's lives and the way that they use money to support it. Some money will think it's nuts to go out for dinner and spend over $100 for two people for dinner. Other people will say, it's generally $200 when we go out for dinner. Other people won't go out without a Groupon or without a coupon or without some kind of a discount. Others will say, I'm going to StubHub to buy my tickets because I'm just too busy and I'll pay for the convenience. Is one right or one wrong? I will tell you, 30 years ago, you would have been told how wrong that was to pay for convenience, to pay for certain things, to pay extra, or to be too cheap. But today, we need to be more accepting. Everybody has different lifestyles. The spectrum of what people earn is far wider than ever before. The types of things that people enjoy doing. Many people enjoy outdoor activities, which can cost very little money. Or they choose to go to Disney World or travel business class to Europe or do other things. And they can spend a wide spectrum of money. What we try to do as financial planners, what I try to do as you're approaching retirement, is to try to give you the guidance to understand what does your spending lifestyle look like. Let's take a look at how you've spent money in the past. Let's make sure that you know that when you approach retirement, that there will be a time when you're going to stop the paycheck and you're going to need to rely on either pensions, Social Security, or the investments that you've gathered to produce an income stream. Will you have enough? Do you know how to spend it? Do you know the right places from where to take it? Who's going to give you that guidance? Folks, that's some serious conversation that needs to happen. And we're ready to have it with you. We do it each and every week here on this radio show. It's called Dollars and Cents, where we're providing financial advice in a language you can understand. We'll provide more of it here, and you can just certainly find it at my office as well. But we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Boston, are you ready? The Bodyguard the Musical, the award-winning stage show that has taken the world by storm, is now making its Boston area premiere. Based on the smash hit movie, The Bodyguard is a thrilling new stage musical featuring more than 15 hit songs made famous by Whitney Houston. Rediscover one of the greatest soundtracks of all time and get swept away by the iconic love story live on stage. The story you know, the music you love, the musical you've been waiting for. The Bodyguard is at Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater from October 29th through November 10th. Get your tickets today at nsmt.org. Sponsored by Big Jim's Auto Body.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno Restaurant on Cross Street in Peabody. If now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning, and I'll tell you, if this would be a great time to do it. We're approaching the end of the year. Time to get your financial house in order. Get everything ready for 2020. It happens to be a little quiet in our office right now, which is nice. I'm loving that. October usually isn't for some reason, but this year it is, probably because the market has had such a nice run. People are getting a little complacent about their portfolio. They're getting complacent about a lot of things. I mean, jobs are going well. They're getting bonuses. They can spend money. They can prepare for Christmas. They can do all of those different things. But I'll tell you, folks, it's going to change. Really, things are going to go down, and it has nothing to do with the president. It has nothing to do with Brazil. It has nothing to do with Brexit. It has nothing to do with China. It has nothing to do with anything. It's just, it's normal. It's normal. Markets find 10% drops on a regular basis, at least once a year. Unfortunately, we haven't seen it this year. So don't be surprised if it comes sneaking up on us, and it could get even worse. Now, when I say it could get worse, did someone just say, oh my God, Mark said it's going to get worse, we should cash in our chips, it's the end of the game? Absolutely not. We go through hills and valleys. We've been climbing a very, very steep hill, and I'm sure your statements are reflecting that. But we will hit a valley. Many of the valleys that we've hit have been very short-lived. We've dropped down and come right back up very quickly. We're going to find periods of time when the value that you see on your investment account is going to be 10 or 15 or 20% less, or maybe even more. And how are you going to react to that? Are you going to change your spending habits? Will it force you to change your spending habits? Should you worry? Do you need to worry? Is your portfolio too risky? Do you have too much money in one thing and not enough in another? Those are questions to be asking yourself as you recognize that your portfolio is probably sitting at the highest value it's ever been. Is it time to put protection mechanisms in place? Is it time for us to really understand what is it that we truly need in retirement? So that we can find that income stream, whether it's through Social Security, through a pension, through income that we draw from our investments, whatever it is, how do we do it so that we can sleep well at night and know that when we approach the last 8,000 days of our life, that we're going to be in good shape? Now, how did I pick 8,000 days? Well, there's this report that comes out from the MIT Age Lab, a guy by the name of Joe Coughlin. Maybe you've seen him around. Joe wears a bow tie. He's actually developed a great international following of understanding how people are aging and what we need to do to prepare for what he calls the longevity economy. Because if you think back generations before, when folks approached retirement, retirement was a lot simpler. First of all, it was shorter. You know, because health care and medicine wasn't allowing us to live longer. We're far more active today than many people were generations ago. We have far more money than we ever had generations ago. And how are we adapting to the ever-changing longevity problem? And so many financial advisors, I know certainly my firm, we have become professionals at providing longevity advice. It used to be that you would work with a financial professional who would offer transactional advice. And probably, I would say, 60 to 70% of financial advisors are still in that space. You want to buy a stock. You want to buy an annuity. You want to buy a mutual fund, you want to buy a real estate product, you want to buy any type of thing, that's called a transactional relationship. Maybe they ask you a couple suitability questions. Hey, how old are you? How long do you think you'll live? What's your expected retirement date? And how much money do you have invested? Oh, that's good enough. I'll find a suitable investment for you. I'll sell it to you. There's a transaction. Once you make the purchase, the relationship is pretty much done because the person who bought that product from you doesn't know much about your overall financial situation. They helped to fill a need. And I think that was that movie called Robots that said, see a need, fill a need. That's what a salesperson does. He sees a need in you, and then he fills that need, and you get what you want. Now, does it work forever? Maybe, maybe not. But chances are you really don't care who sold it to you. All you care about is the fact that you have it. The second type of advisor, and this is an emerging advisor that's really there now, and many people are trying to play in this space, it's called the advisory-based advisor. The advisory-based advisor is one that tries to help you understand your investment portfolio that you have. They don't want to sell you transactional stuff. They're not earning commissions. They want to charge you a fee, like a 1% fee for everything that they manage for you, give you advice on the asset allocation, making sure that your investment portfolio has an appropriate risk tolerance to it, trying to understand some of the details about your financial life, maybe even providing you some income strategies or accumulation strategies, building that proper portfolio and trying to do it at the lowest possible cost. Many, many advisors are doing that, but the new one, the one that is truly the cutting edge financial advisor, has the element of the advisory component, but also the experience of longevity. The longevity advisor sees a lot of things in your life. They understand that there is likely to be a time in your life where somebody is going to die. Somebody, the husband or wife, the partner, whatever, someone's going to die. What kind of advice are you providing to that person so that they can be well prepared? What kind of advice do you offer to somebody who is aging and is somewhat losing some of their ability to do things like maybe they shouldn't be driving anymore? Maybe they're trying desperately to live alone, but they're fiercely independent, yet they still want to try to climb a ladder and change a light bulb when you know they shouldn't be. Where is the financial strategies in place for somebody to think about, maybe I should be looking at Uber or Lyft, not necessarily a taxi anymore? Maybe I should be looking to work with having somebody that's a carpenter that can come into my house and fix things for me rather than me doing it. There was a gentleman, I think I told the story last week or a couple weeks ago, of a gentleman that is in retirement now, and he has plenty of money, doing just fine. But he's always done things himself. He hates paying people to do stuff. And so he says, yeah, you know, now I got all this time in my hands, so I think I'm getting ready. I'm going to paint the house. You're going to paint the house. Bill, you're 68 years old. I'm not saying that's old at all, but you got all this time. And he says, you know, I don't have much time. I mean, I got things I got to do. I said, well, one of the things that you can do in retirement is buy back time. And you can buy back time by paying other people to do things that you don't need to do. I know you want to do it. You want to paint the house. But what are the risks that could come from you climbing the ladder and painting the house? Think about the things that you won't be able to do if you fell off that ladder, or if you were injured, or if there was a series of rainy days that prevented you from getting that project done and you sat in your house miserable because you couldn't get out there and do it. We got to figure out, we got to deal with giving advice around longevity issues. Longevity issues like, when should I take my Social Security? When do I take my minimum distribution payment? When do I sign up for Medicare? How do I figure out the best way to pay for long-term care costs? Should I be moving into an assisted living facility? But the kids want money. I want to help them out to buy a house. But oh my goodness, I still have parents that may need my help as well. All of those fall under the longevity spectrum of things that we need to talk about, and they require money. So this report, that this 8,000 days things that Joe Coughlin from the MIT Age Lab has put together, really helps us understand how we're thinking differently about old age. And there are some myths about old age, a lot of myths that are out there. And it amazes me how many times people will still talk about them as if they're really true. Here's the real first myth about aging. You're going to retire at age 65. For how many years have you heard the term, I'm retiring at 65? And maybe you will retire in your head, or maybe you'll think to yourself, I'm going to retire at 65. But when you think back to what retire at 65 meant to generations before you, what did that mean? It means I'm done working. There's going to be a retirement party because I spent 30 years working for the same company. I'm going to get a nice gold watch. My wife and I are going to hop on, on the love boat. We're going to go walk around the Lido deck. People are going to throw streamers at us. We'll go dancing with the trio, have our time, come home, sit on the porch and die. That was basically the story of retirement. Maybe you'll get to spend a few years with the grandkids. Retirement today, that looks a hell of a lot different. And at 65, when people say they want to retire, first of all, people aren't saying that they want to retire at 65 anymore. They're looking to say, I may want to slow down at some point, but certainly not at 65, maybe at 70. Maybe it's 75, and some people want to retire sooner, that's okay. But understand this, full retirement age, if you want to collect your full retirement benefit from Social Security, that really starts around 67 years old. So why would you want to retire at 65 when you can't collect your Social Security benefit or your full Social Security benefit until 67? That means you have to spend more of your own personal money until Social Security starts paying you. That seems kind of silly. So some people will say, okay, I'm going to retire from my current job, and then I'm going to do something that I like. Well, that's a different kind of retirement, isn't it? It doesn't mean that you get to control your hours. You may not have the responsibility of having people reporting to you, but you still have to show up for work. And you know what? I think you well know that most 65-year-olds or folks in their 60s or 70s, or frankly, even people in their 50s right now, are probably the most dependable employees you'll have. It's going to be really rare that you're going to say, I need a personal day. When's the last time at 60 years old, if you're in your 60s or 70s now, how many times did you go up to your boss when you were in your 30s or 40s and said, can I have a personal day, please? There was no such thing as a personal day. You showed up and you worked. You were given a couple sick days. Most of you didn't even take it because you know what? You took great pride in your work. You wanted to be there every day. It wasn't even about the people that you enjoyed working with. You took great pride in the work that you did. You are a dependable employee. People want to hire 60 and 70-year-olds simply because they know you'll show up. That's half the game right now, showing up. Showing up, speaking respectfully about the company, being diplomatic when it comes to challenging situations. You're a valuable employee. They don't want to lose you so fast. So chances are you're not going to retire at 65. Here's myth number two that comes out of the Age Lab. Retirement is all about fun and leisure. So the first thing you ask somebody when they retire, when you say, all right, so you want to retire, tell me what retirement looks like. I want to travel. Got to travel. All right. Well, you're traveling 365 days a year for the next 30 years? No, you're not. Many people, though, will spend more time planning their travel itinerary than they will their own retirement planning. But when you're not traveling, what are you going to do? Oh, I'm going to get to see the kids. Kids are going to come and visit. Really? The kids, your grandkids probably aren't driving. Mom and dad have to bring them. And mom and dad, oh, both of them work. So the kids have a nanny or they're at daycare. Oh, but so maybe you get to be the daycare. Is that fun and leisure? Some days. Maybe not all the days. And then you got doctor's appointments. And then there's all sorts of other things that pop up. You know what's not fun about retiring? People around you die. And you begin to realize that you really need to make the most of every moment. You're probably going to live a long time, but things can happen. And you begin to create new acquaintances. You lose friends. You have to ask yourself, can I live in this house any longer? Can I still handle the stairs? Do I need to move to a community where I'm around people my own age rather than relying on myself to have to cut the lawn and shovel the driveway? Retirement isn't all about fun and leisure. Sure, there's plenty of it. But it's not beaches and golf courses and cruise ships. There's a lot more to it. It's trying to manage it all. And then as our health begins to deteriorate ever so slightly, Maybe it's our eyesight. Maybe it's arthritis. Maybe it's our knees. Maybe it's the bunions on our feet. Whatever it is, that we slow down a little bit. And we can't stand how fast this economy and the culture and the society that we live in moves so quickly. And we're feeling intimidated that we're not keeping up. That isn't fun. That isn't fun. So we have to find that balance. What are some of the other old age myths? There's a bunch of them. The MIT Age Lab, run by Joe Coughlin, has helped put together this Breaking Old Age Myths. We're sharing a few of them here with you on Dollars and Cents today, where we try to provide financial advice in a language you can understand. I got a few more myths that I want to tell you about, and we will do that when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Just got paid.
Friday night.
Party
hopping.
Oh.
Feeling all right.
Booty shaking.
Are you caring for a loved one at home? Does he or she need round-the-clock care? Caregiving is hard. Caregiver Homes from SeniorLink is here to help. If your loved one is Medicaid eligible, their unique program provides live-in family caregivers with ongoing guidance and daily support. You'll receive support from their nurses and social workers and have access to their secure app, Vela, so you can always feel like help is just a text away. You would also get a tax-free daily stipend. To find out if you qualify, call Caregiver Homes from SeniorLink at 866-666-9039. Online at caregiverhomes.com.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial in Peabody. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has provided financial advice in a language you can understand to individuals and families all throughout the North Shore. At Friedman Financial, we know that planning for your retirement is overwhelming. Don't leave this important decision to chance, or even worse, the algorithms of a faceless technology solution. Our certified financial planner professionals meet with you face-to-face to know you and your retirement goals. If now's the time to get serious about your retirement, meet with a certified financial planner at Friedman Financial in person. You deserve a strategy that incorporates every aspect of your retirement plan. To learn more, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hope you're doing well. We are in the midst of October, heading into the fourth quarter of 2019. It's getting really busy in Salem, Massachusetts. Head down there for haunted happenings. We've got Thanksgiving coming up We've got Thanksgiving coming up in November. Christmas and Hanukkah coming up in December. Lots of exciting activities, lots of busy schedules, Christmas parties, holiday parties, all sorts of events, the kids' choral party, you know, the kids got their winter solstice festival, whatever it is. There's banquets, there's events, there's all sorts of stuff going on. Hope you've got space on your calendar to fill it all in, but I'm thrilled that you found time this morning to join me here on Dollars and Cents from 8 to 9 a.m. each and every Sunday right here at North Shore 104.9. If you're thinking about retirement, if it's in your future, if you're 55, 50 plus, or perhaps you're in retirement, you're probably thinking to yourself, we've had a really good run here. Market's been exceptional for 12 years, not 2 months, not 2 years, 12 years, long time. It's done very, very well. What do we do? What do we do? Are we ready for it to continue for another decade? Do we want it to pull back? Do we have enough money? Are you going to be able to support yourself in retirement? Do you need to do something different? Do you really need to think it through? Do you need to look at everything that you have in your financial life? If now's the time to do that, I hope you'll give us a call at Friedman Financial, because it's what we do every day for 450 households that are right here on the North Shore and in the Merrimack Valley and the surrounding community as well. We have folks of all ages, but the bulk of our clients are generally 55 plus. They have investment assets in excess of $500,000. They have a net worth of around $1 million to $3 or $4 million. Net worth could include your house. It could include a second piece of property. People will say, You know, look, if you have a net worth of $1 million, sometimes it floors people that they're actually worth $1 million or more. Yes, that makes you a millionaire. And you'll say to yourself, well, I don't feel like a millionaire. Most people who have a few $1 million don't. But it's what you might need to support your life in retirement if you want to spend the same way you've been doing it. And how do you know whether you have enough? How do you know where best to draw money by paying the lowest amount in taxes that you can to support your life in retirement? Those are real important questions. This is not about finding the next hot stock or the next new beverage or the next marijuana product or whatever it was you can find to make money on. No, this is about making sure that you take a look at what you've accumulated, use it properly to support the income stream that you need so that you can stretch it out to last more than 30 years in retirement. We help you do that at Friedman Financial. Our consultations are free. Come by our office, schedule time, give our office a call. We'll send you out our information kit. Yeah, we have a whole information kit that we'll send out to you. You can just take a look at it. If it makes sense to you, great. We'd love to meet with you. If not, that's okay too. If you don't like it, share it with somebody else. I don't care. I just want to help you. I really do. We are local. We are locally based. We know the issues that local families have here in the community. We understand the rules. We understand the guidelines. And we just want to point you in the right direction. Give my office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. I'm not going to farm you off to somebody. You're going to meet with me or my business partner, Marion, who you've heard here on the radio. We're a small office, but we make a pretty powerful impact, I think, on a lot of people's lives. And we've been blessed to have so many clients since my father started a firm in 1968. In some cases, we have four generations of clients. Many people listen to this show and they think, oh, Mark must deal with the super wealthy. No, I don't. We don't deal with the super wealthy. No, we don't deal with folks that are have major credit card problems, that are really struggling to get by. No, that's not the case either. I'm looking for, in my office, I'll describe the ideal client. The ideal client's been married for 20 years or more and has lived in the community here for 20 years or more. They've had middle to upper middle management positions. Maybe in their career, they made somewhere between $125,000 and $300,000 in household income. In retirement, they want to spend somewhere between $5,000 a month and $15,000 a month. Maybe they have somewhere between $500,000 and $2.5 million in investment assets. That includes investment accounts, retirement accounts, 401ks. They own their house. They're credit card debt free. They have good relationships with their kids. They want to make sure that they're able to help out the kids when necessary, but many of them are very fortunate that their kids are doing quite well on their own. Maybe they have to deal with their aging parents. Maybe they're sandwiched in between and trying to make those decisions. Those are the clients that we want to see. Those are the clients that we can provide the greatest help and the greatest advice to. You will get tremendous value for the service that we offer. If now's the time to get serious, give my office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108, or visit our website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. If you go to my website, there's a tab there that talks about the various types of clients that we serve. You can certainly find that, little videos about them, all that stuff. You can also find a tab on how clients work with our firm. And there's a couple really nice information sheets, so you don't have to be skittish about coming to the meeting wondering, well, what's going to happen in the initial consultation? What's going to happen in the meeting? Or how do I prepare? It's all there for you. I want you to be as well informed as you can before you start working with a firm like ours. And I will promise you this, you come in for the initial consultation, you are not signing anything. I will not let you sign anything at the first meeting. You may want to say, this is great, let's move forward. No way. I will not allow that to happen. It's part of the ethics and the morals that we have in our office. What happens following an initial consultation, as I will tell you in the meeting, is we do what's called a memo to file. I dictate a story about what we shared in our meeting, and it's held in your contact management records at our office. And then I dictate a letter to you, a thank you letter to you, that says, thanks for visiting the office. Here's what we talked about today. Here's what we proposed to you. If you'd like to move forward, let us know. If not, that's okay too. You work with Friedman Financial when the time is right for you. But one of the things that we do know is that we're all going to get older. And the myths around retiring are far different today than what they were before, those old wives' tales, as they referred to them, or rules of thumb. There's a group called the MIT Age Lab, run by Joe Coughlin, that really years ago decided to take a look at how aging and longevity will impact the retiree. And Joe's put together a series of reports. One is called 8,000 Days, and we're going to be doing a seminar on the 8,000 Days of Retirement in the next few weeks. You'll hear more about this as it gets closer. But I want to show you, I want to share something with this Breaking Old Age Myths that Joe puts together. One of the first things he talks about is the fact that people have always said, well, we retire at 65. No, we don't do that anymore. People retire differently. There was also this expression that said, retirement is all about fun and leisure. And if you're retiring, you're going to realize, yeah, there is some fun, there is some leisure, but there's a lot of other stuff that goes along with retirement. And there's another one here that says, your kids will take care of you while you spend lots of time with the grandkids. Maybe that's how it worked decades ago, but chances are you're still taking care of the kids when you're retired. That wasn't the way it was supposed to go, was it? And you know what's really even more frustrating? Is the kids are making 2, 3, 4, 5 times more than you ever made, and you still have to figure out a way to take care of the kids? That doesn't make sense, does it? And it's somewhat infuriating, but you also say to yourself, but I love my grandkids, and I want to spend time with the grandkids, and it's great to see the grandkids, and I just don't understand, why don't the grandkids come over anymore? They just don't. You have to go see them, don't you? Because mom and dad, their mom and dad, are busy. You can go see them play soccer or go to their dance recitals or go babysit at the house or take them out on a Sunday, but if you think the grandkids are coming to you on a regular basis, it's not happening. I remember years ago when I was a kid, my grandfather, Ken Friedman, used to own a bakery in Vinon Square called Ken's Pastries. Now, if you're around from that area, you may remember it. It was right across the street from the old General Glover House in the Vinon Square. It's called Ken's Pastries. And every Sunday as kids, my brothers and I, along with my parents, of course, because we didn't drive, we would drive every Sunday to visit my grandfather at Ken's Pastries. We would walk into the place. It would usually be around 1 or 2 o'clock as the day was winding down for them at the pastry shop. We'd walk in, we'd look through all of the cases in the back, pull out boxes, take whatever pastries we wanted. Could have whatever we wanted. We have so many pastries in our freezer that we would save. But the best part was visiting the cake decorator. And I can't believe, I can't remember his name at the time. He was this great, I want to say George, but we would go visit him, and every Sunday he would greet us. He would have all the frostings out, all the different color frostings. And he'd take out a piece of baker's paper, put a big clump of frosting in the middle of the paper, roll it up into a cone, cut off the tip of the cone, and my brothers and I would each walk around with our own personal cone full of just frosting, and that's what we would eat until it was time to leave the bakery, which we then went across the street to Summit Estates and hung out at my grandparents' place where we all had a nice big lunch every Sunday. That's what we did. Families aren't doing that anymore. And for us to expect that that's what's going to happen is wrong. It's going to be different. Your retirement's going to be different. There's lots of myths around retirement. I want to help you break them, but I also want to help you succeed. I want you to live the greatest retirement you can possibly live so that you can do what you want to do. You can give your kids and your grandkids what you want them to have, and you can live life to its fullest. That's what we do here each and every Sunday by providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. I got to get out of here, but I'll be back again next Sunday. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risk, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
Prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.